How many of you in this room have a family member in your past, your immediate family that you're aware of, who died in conflict in the wars defending freedom in the world? Anybody? Okay, one. Okay, another. How many of you had family members that have served in the military, or you are here this morning and you've served in the military, or you have someone who is serving in the military? Raise your hand. All right, a number. All right, so a number of us are involved in that. I hope that you are serious. I hope the message is going to kind of dovetail on what I said to you a few moments ago. We had a special plan for this morning, but it was unable to be done. So there is a song that I've been thinking about, and I had the words. I didn't get anybody for music, so I'm going to attempt to sing it for you. Because, in essence, it is the reason for remembrance. And maybe it'll tie in well and help you understand what we're about to say in the message this morning. I don't have a polished 3 points in a poem message this morning. I have one thought or point I want to really drive home with you. And I hope that God will help me. But him being my helper, I'll try to sing for you this song. It's words and music are written by Stuart Hamblin. It's called "It Is No Secret." The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. We have a God who doesn't keep secrets. A God who reveals Himself to man and reveals His truth to man, that man might know Him, and because he knows Him, man might be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Take your Bible, if you would please, and go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Remembrance Day. We're talking, of course, about memory and remembering. And while I'm not very good at being funny, I will try to share with you a couple of stories I thought you might enjoy. John had a very serious memory problem. He had a friend, a close friend by the name of Bill, who was well acquainted with that, and he hadn't seen him for some time, and one day they chanced to meet on the street, and John says to Bill, "Hey, do you remember that terrible memory I had?" "Boy, do I ever." Well, I'm happy to tell you it's not that bad anymore. I went to a seminar recently that taught me how to remember things. It was great. And Bill, believe it or not, now I have this wonderful memory. Bill said, well, John, that's awesome. What was the name of the seminar? Well, wait just a minute. My wife went with me. I'll ask her. So he turns and he sees his wife. He turns back to Bill and says, Bill, what's the name of that flower that has the long stem with the thorns and the red blooms on it? And Bill said, you mean a rose? He said, yeah, thanks. Turned back to his wife and said, hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar we attended? Some of you are laughing because you find it amusing, and some of you are laughing because it's not so amusing, because it's true of you. There were three old sisters living together in one house, and they were getting up in years, and memory tends to be a bit of a challenge. And one night, one was sitting in the living room, two of them were sitting in the living room, and one got up and said, I'm going to bed. So she started up the stairs. She got halfway up the stairs, and then she stopped. She hollered down and said, was I going up the stairs or coming down the stairs? And the older sister said, dear, you were going up to go to bed. Oh, yeah. So off she goes. And she just shakes her head. Well, it's not many minutes later than the second sister says, I'm going to go in the kitchen and make myself a sandwich. And so she heads into the kitchen, and she gets into the kitchen, and all of a sudden the sister still sitting in the room hears her say, why did I come in here? She said, you went in there to make yourself a sandwich. With a exasperated tone, and oh yes, thank you. And so the sister still sitting in the living room is shaking her head, and she says, oh my, I am so glad I'm not as forgetful as them, and I determine I'm never going to be as forgetful as my sisters, knock on wood. And then she got up and went to answer the door to see who was knocking. You are so kind to laugh. I appreciate that very much. Oh, memory. What a problem we have with memory. Our Creator clearly understood that. I cannot explain why we have such problems with memory and why some people don't seem to have much trouble with memory. But our Creator, over and over again, some 50-some times in the Bible, we read the word remembrance. Remember is many more times than that. Beware lest thou forget as many times, and forgetting, and it's all through the Scripture. So did I give you a place to go? Huh? I can't remember. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Oh, boy. What are we doing here? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9 is where we'll begin. We're just going to read several scriptures and make a few comments, and then I'll make the point to you with God's help. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourselves. Now this is God's exhortation through his servant Moses to his people. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Now, I don't know those who started this Remembrance Day observation and who started the phrase, lest ye forget. I don't know whether they were Bible students or acquainted with Scripture, but here it is. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And he goes on to talk about specifics, but for time's sake, we'll go down to verse 23. Again, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. And there's a serious consequence mentioned, or a serious aside, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Look at chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. I would call your attention back to verse 11. The reason for this repetition of their need not to forget but to remember is because he's now talking about what God's going to do for them in their future. And what he's going to do with them in their future is fill their lives with so much goodness and so much bounty and so much blessing, having brought them out and brought them to the land of promise. He said, beware lest you get occupied with all that good stuff, all those blessings of freedom and liberty and all the things that I provide, and forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out. Do you get the idea that God was concerned about his people's forgetfulness? That God understood that potential, that problem? Look at chapter 8 and verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his statutes and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Again, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, I'm there, how about you? And hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. I would say most of us are there. When thy herds and flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. And he goes on, who led thee and provided for you and so forth. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Go to Joshua, if you would, please. This is just one incident in which the people of Israel demonstrate that they understand the importance of a memorial, that they understand the importance of not forgetting, but remembering. There are many of them we could go to in Scripture, but here's one, Joshua chapter 4. They are finally at the end of wandering in the wilderness. God's giving them a second chance to enter into the land of promise. They're standing at the Jordan River, and God tells them to step in and go by faith. And God peels the waters of the Jordan River back and makes the riverbed dry, and they're able to walk through on dry land. So here we are in Joshua chapter number 4. And I want you to notice in verse number... let's just start in verse number 1. It came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, and out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. So each one was to get a stone. These were not just pebbles. The idea here was a significant piece of rock, one that they could carry, but one that would also be visible and would have significance visibly. So thou shalt carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So 12 men, 12 stones. That this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And look at verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch, or he set them up together as a monument in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Watch now, not just your children, but that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. It is no secret what God can do if his people set up memorials, if his people take time to remember, if his people acknowledge and set up the signs and testimonies of what God has done, then it is no secret to their children what God can do. And it is no secret to their neighborhood what God can do. And it's no secret to the world what God can do when the people of God are not forgetting their God. Go to Psalm 78. We'll just look at a couple more. Psalm 78 and verse 10. So many places we could go. It would be amazing to see the list of places, but there are many, many places, of course, because the Bible's a revelation. And God understood the importance of our knowing the importance of remembering. But in Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 says, he, God, has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Why do we do this? Why do we have these memorials? Why do we have these remembrances? Why do we have the Passover supper every year? Why do they have all those things instituted of God? What's the meaning of the ark? What's the meaning of the tabernacle? What's the meaning of this altar over here and this pile of stones over here? And in Israel's history and life, it was so that their children might know the Lord, but watch, that they might, verse 7, set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They didn't see them, but they can see the monument to that. Listen carefully. History is the record of reality. If you want to know what is real and what is not, know history. We can all sit here where we are and fantasize and dream about what could be, or what should be, or what might be, or what we're going to do, or what we can achieve if we do this or if we do that. For example, North American society right now is falling in love with the idea of socialism. Socialism has been practiced or tried in country after country after country after country after country after country in the history of humanity, and never one time has it worked. Never. Never has it produced what you see in Canada. Never has it produced what you see in North America. But the problem is, we don't remember. We don't know history. If we knew history, we would know that socialism does not work because man's a sinner and full of greed and full of envy and full of covetousness. And he will take advantage. I'm saying to you, our young people, our children, the next generation will only set their hope in God and not forget his works if they have something to testify. So are you listening to me? Why do we insist on keeping a Sunday school instead of letting go of Sunday school? Why do we insist on having a Sunday night service as well as a Sunday morning service? And why do we have a Wednesday night service? Much of the world, the religious world, is now content to come to church on Sunday morning only. And it used to absolutely never be true in the life of independent Baptist people. Never. But increasingly it's so. But why would we have a service? Let me justify it. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why do we have a Sunday school? To teach the Word of God. Every time you tell the story of David and Goliath, you are setting up a memorial. You are setting up a testimony to what God has done. History is reality. God did that. And if God did that, God can do that because God never changes. And so our children will set their hopes in God. And while they're sitting there in Sunday school, they're dreaming about being David. They're dreaming about going out and facing a giant. They're dreaming about being a champion for God and trusting God and believing God against impossible odds. That's why we do it. We need memorials. We need remembrance because we are prone to forget. Listen to me. The greatest enemy to your faith is not idolatry. It is not immorality. It is not prosperity. The greatest enemy to your faith and mine. Faith is belief. It's confidence in God. It's trust in God that acts upon the confidence. It's going forward because God said it and I believe it. The greatest obstacle to our faith is our forgetfulness. In the beginning, here's a man and here's a woman and God. And God speaks to them and said, I've given you all of this. You may eat of everything in the garden except the fruit of one tree, which is in the midst of the garden. And he said, I got to tell you that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And at some point in time, we don't know how long after that instruction was given. I have no idea. But the serpent comes along, who is subtle, and he speaks to the woman and says to her, did God say that you could eat of the fruit of all the trees? And she said, oh, no, he said that there was one we couldn't eat, basically, is what the conversation was. And he said, look, you will not surely die. God knows that the day you eat thereof, you shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. So I'm going to suggest to you that at the root of her readiness to disobey was the fact that she did not have any memorial, anything to go back to. If her mother had eaten of the fruit of the tree and died, or her grandmother, or great-grandma, of course she didn't have one, but if it were true that she did, and her great-grandmother had died, and there was a terrible tragedy in the family because she disobeyed the voice of God, and Eve then has the opportunity to think back. She has heard the story. She knows, and maybe there is a plaque in their house or something etched on a rock, and so she can look back at that, and she would know to say no to Satan. You understand what I'm saying? It's when we forget that we practice immorality. It's when we forget that we adopt other gods. It's when we forget what we've already seen, witnessed in history. God has given us all these things. He's done all these things and he's dealt with mankind. And history is a record of what's real. You want to know how it's going to turn out? If you walk down that road, read history. Check out those that went down that road. You'll find out what's going to happen to you. You are not going to rewrite the rules. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. I believe it was one of the U.S. presidents that said, there isn't anything new The only thing new in the world is the history that you do not know. Are you listening? Put your thinking cap on. The only thing new is the history you don't know. The history you know, if you hear it again or see it again, it's not new to you. There isn't anything new under the sun. It's the same as it used to be. It will always be that way. Man is man, God is God, right is right, wrong is wrong. But what is new is when you are reading a history book or somebody preaches a message to you or teaches on history, you say, well, I never knew that. Then it's new to you. So what are we supposed to remember? We're supposed to remember because by remembering we know history, and history tells us the end result and causes us to put our trust in God. And we say it's no secret what God can do. Look what he's done. Look what he did for him. Look what he did for her. Look what he did for them. And God is able to do the same for me. And so we see in history the true picture of the human condition. Why do men believe as they do? Why do they act as they do? And what happens when they believe and act in that fashion? I'm telling you, the record of the past is a matter of facts. So when we come to Remembrance Day on November the 11th, and we pause to remember, and we hear the stories, and we read in our newspaper, we are talking about real, actual, historical happenings. These things happen. There are men who had in mind to take over the world, to destroy or eradicate a race of people who wanted to dominate the world. And in order to stop that, somebody had to go to battle and stand in their path, and at the cost of their own lives were able to hold them back and stop them, and so that freedom was not stolen from their family and from their nation and from their home. That's the record. We've got to remember that. If we don't remember that, then our children are going to not see the significance of having a strong defense or of military service. And so, like most of the kids in our world, the history books of our classrooms are being rewritten. They're being rewritten for the purpose of blinding our children's eyes to what happened in the past. Because if we're ignorant of what happened in the past, then whoever happens to be the ruler over us can suggest that the pathway to prosperity and blessing is to go this way. And if they have no past to go back to and see there was another leader in another country who said the same thing to his people, who passed the same laws, who took the same actions, and it enslaved the people and ruined the people and destroyed their economy, if they can't go back and read that, if that history is not available to them, or that history is rewritten, they have nothing to touch to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know why so many Christians, so-called, don't stand for the faith anymore? Because their pastors and the authorities in their church and their parents allowed the Bible to be eviscerated, allowed people to tear up the Bible and criticize the Bible and change the Bible and rewrite the Bible and say we just misinterpreted it. It was a misinterpretation. It's a misunderstanding. And so now the young people are growing up without any scriptural foundation, without any confidence that the stories of the Bible are real historical records. They're questioning everything. And so now they're easy prey for the one who comes along and says, that was a lie, this is the truth. And present them the lie, which is what they say is the truth, which is really a lie. I'm telling you, we must remember. There is a relentless march of evil in this world. The enemy will never stop. He is a defeated foe, but he will never stop. There is a relentless march of evil. I mean, there was a time after the world wars were over when there was relative peace and prosperity in the world. But if you are awake today and you are at all in knowledge, the world is in absolute turmoil right now. That because of the same things and the same kind of actions that brought about the world war. And nobody sees it. Why are you getting upset about it? Why are you getting worried about it? But I don't really want to get into the political realm as much. I want to get into the spiritual realm. The same thing is true. We must have a Remembrance Day. That's why tonight when we come to the church, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember. It's a memorial. It's a monument to say to us there was a real event in history where the eternal God, our Creator, came into human existence and dwelt among us and took a body of flesh and took our sins in his body and paid our sin debt. And we need to be reminded all the time, because obviously, as it was in Israel's case, we're no different. We forget altogether too quickly. God blesses us. We can't have little blessings, because the blessings begin to be our preoccupation and our thoughts. And we begin to manage those blessings and forget where we got them and forget how we got them. And so they begin to rule our lives. I'm begging you, set up some memorials in your home. Set up some memorials in your family. There are two histories operating in this world, the history of man and what man does, and the history of God. But what you must understand is the history of what God does in the world is overshadowing everything that man does. And God is ruling in the affairs of men. And so when men do what men do, that's God actually doing what God would do in the world in response to what his creation has chosen to do. God is at work in this world, and we need our kids to know it. We need to be so careful. It is when we forget the goodness and greatness of God, his might, his majesty, and his mercy. When we forget that, no remembrance of God, then there's no gratitude to God. And when there's no gratitude, then there is no sense of debt, no sense of moral responsibility. You get that? So we must remember. And we must cause our children to remember. Though they may not have been there and may not have seen it, it's history, it's real, it's true. And we must remember. Because in remembering, we're grateful. And when we forget, we begin to grumble. And when we're forgetful and grumbling, we feel no obligation in our personal responsibility. But if we understand how we got it, and we are extremely cognizant of why Canada is blessed the way it is, and why the Church of Jesus Christ is blessed the way it is, what has made that so? When we understand it, we are extremely grateful for the mercy and grace of God. And being extremely grateful for that, we feel in debt to that. We feel obligated, and we respond by true behavior, right behavior, honest behavior. How in the world do we expect somebody to defend what they don't know? Why are our children going to defend Baptist faith or Bible faith or Christianity if they don't know Baptist history, if they don't know the church's history, if they don't know the history of our faith, the struggle between good and evil and what God has done? If they don't know it, they're certainly not going to fight for it. Our future is threatened by our detachment from reality. And reality is found in history. The fastest way of stripping a man or a woman or a nation or a society of their past is to the purpose of rewriting history is to strip them of their past and reshape them into whatever the leadership chooses. The fastest way to kill any tree is how? Cut it at its roots. So let's get rid of the story of how it all began and what God has done. And once we've done that, the tree falls and the kids don't understand, what's the big fuss about the tree? What's the big fuss about church? What's the big fuss about my Bible? What's the big fuss about being a Baptist? People are banning the Baptist name. I, as your pastor, am guilty of not preparing you or teaching you as I should, and I plan to remedy that in the near future. You can come if you want or not come if you want, but I'm going to teach a course again in Baptist history. Not a complicated and deep, but a simple course in Baptist history. You understand, there is a reason why I'm a Baptist, and there's a reason why I will defend the name of Baptist. But those who don't know it, what's the big deal? What's the big issue? Well, time is gone. Do you get the point this morning? Beware lest you forget. For your own sake, for your children's sake, for the future's sake, we're remembering these men and women and their sacrifices and the war effort because it's important. Because evil has not changed. Men are still being aggressors, and there really are very few places in the world today, probably less now than ever before, where true freedom and liberty are enjoyed. And by the way, you cannot, didn't we read a quote a while ago? You cannot bestow it. It has to be achieved. And we've tried to transport democracy. We've tried to transport what we enjoy in North America, the United States and Canada, to other nations. It has not worked. It has to be achieved there, from their heart, from their determination. And that's why, if you know Canada's history and United States history, that's why we've had the blessings of God. And that's why we're where we are, because it was born from our heart. It was born from the knowledge of the truth. And therefore, we have the fruit. But we can't transplant the fruit unless the root is there. And that's why we need missionaries to go preach the gospel, so the light can penetrate the darkness, so they can understand. And it was those who were enlightened who came and founded the colonies and founded Canada and the provinces, so that we could have and enjoy this tremendous freedom. Let's not forget. We are truly creatures who will forget. So every day we need to have a memorial, a touchstone. Every week. And coming to church 3 or 4 times a week is a good thing for you, because it's a touchstone, it's a memorial, it's a reminder. If you're doing it for the right reason, and you will hear messages, and you will remember, you'll be reminded that there's nothing too hard for God. And you're reminded how evil sin is and how God punishes sin, and it'll challenge us and help us. Father, would you work in the hearts of your people as it pleases you? May we learn today. We've been given this reminder in our political calendar, our national schedule, to pause, to remember. And then that caused us to think beyond the political and beyond the realm of just man, and think spiritually. And remember that you many, many, many times warned us and encouraged us and commanded us to remember, to set up memorials, not to forget. Oh God, help us to do so. May there be some memorials set up by some moms and dads that they take their children to and say, this is why we do this. This is what this means. This is a real event. This is what God has shown us. This is what happens when men forsake God. This is what happens when men trust God and believe God. Nothing is too hard. Oh God, we pray for our nation. We pray that you'll help us recognize our personal and individual responsibility to stand for freedom here in our land. And we continue to plead with you, God, keep our land glorious and free. Stir up our hearts today in remembrance. I pray for your name's sake. Amen. Let's stand together, please. In just a moment, we're going to sing.